I'd like you to do me a favor, if you would. Would you kindly bow your head and close your eyes? And no one looking around. And I'd like you to just listen and imagine and focus on the following. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the angel said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Our God, we ask this morning now, as we quieten our hearts and minds to receive the word of God this morning, that, Lord, that you would help all of us to put all of the things, all of the distractions, all of our meetings, anything and everything that would keep us from tuning in this morning, we ask, God, that you would help us to put those aside. And Lord, for those that are watching online and those that are in our auditorium, I pray, God, that today would be a blessed day as we learn about the importance of Easter Sunday, as we contemplate what it's all about and what it means to every single one of us. So God, thank you for another day of life that you've given us to come, to worship together, to be with our families and friends, to do what we like to do and love to do. And so, Lord, we pray now just for these next few minutes that you would help us. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you look before me on the table, these are all items from Friday night. I don't know how many of you were able to be here Friday night, but we had a wonderful Good Friday service. And if you did not make it this year, maybe you might be able to put that on your calendar next year. Also, to my right, probably more to your left, we have the cross. And as you look at the cross, if you're distance, you'll see some black markings on it. And those are words that people came and scribbled a particular area of their life where they needed God's help to get victory. And after the service this morning, anytime before you leave, if you feel so led, if you would like to do that, we would encourage you to do that. You can just come. We have markers at the base of the cross, and you can just write whatever on there maybe you're struggling with. Maybe it's pride, arrogance, materialism, maybe cursing. It could be many, many things, obviously, because we're all different and we all struggle, but we struggle with different things. And so what we did Friday night is we kind of laid our struggles at the foot of the cross. But you know, Friday night, as we talked about the chains that were around Jesus, the cup of wrath, the whip, what we call the cat of nine tails, the crown of thorns, and then finally, we talked about the last one, which was the nailing of the nails between the wrists of the Lord Jesus and the pounding of the nails. And we celebrated, yes, that's the right word. We celebrated his death. Why? Because it was the first step that he took to give us eternal life. As we celebrate today the resurrection, there could be no resurrection if it were not for the death of Christ. And that's why we call it Good Friday. It was good in the sense that Jesus began to pay for our sin. As he hung on the cross, as he died, as his blood was shed, the Bible tells us there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And as Jesus hung on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then they buried him. But oh, it wasn't over, was it, church? 3 days later, on that Sunday morning that we celebrate today, Easter Sunday, Jesus came back, as we read in this particular portion of Scripture in Luke 24, that Jesus came back from the dead. Now, what does this all mean? What does this have to do with me? Well, that's what I want to take, and it's a shorter message this morning. We have much more music to come. Some of you are looking at your watches and think, now, wait a minute. Jerry's up speaking at 11:20. That's not good. Is he going to speak all the way till 10 after 12? No. We have four or five more songs. We have a lot more planned. But I want to intersect our singing for a few minutes and share with you what is Easter all about, but God. As we look on the screen this morning, and I'll look on my phone, the same verses, Paul writes the church of Ephesus, which is now in modern-day Turkey. We find these words, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin." Now notice as he writes to these people in the city of Ephesus, he says in the past tense, "You were." And the first three verses talk about what we were before we believed in the resurrection. We believed in the death of Christ. It was before we believed in those things and we partook of Christ by faith that he was and is and always will be the Son of God, the one who came to pay for your sin, my sin, actually for the sins of the world. For we know John 3:16. For those of you that might not know it, God came unto the world because he loved us and he died for us and he forgave us. And we're thankful because of that. The idea of trespass is a little bit different than the word sin. You see, trespass means, think of it, going on a trail and purposefully veering off on your own to wander away. The idea of sin is different. It has to do with missing the mark, and we've explained this over the months and years many, many times, about throwing a dart or shooting a bow and arrow and not hitting the bullseye every single time. And that has to do with our Adamic sin that we inherited from Adam as he purposefully, knowingly, willfully disobeyed God in the garden. We know that Eve was deceived, but Adam did it purposefully. And the Bible says when that happened, he died. And he really died in two ways. One is he died physically. Second of all, he died spiritually in the sense that he was separated from God because Adam had a very close relationship with the Lord. And at that point forward, every single one of us was born with a sin nature. There's a fable that I've shared in the last couple of services. You can Google it online if you want to. And I'm going to kind of ad lib in regards to the fable. But there was a tortoise and a scorpion. And the tortoise on one particular day was going to swim across a pond. And the scorpion said, "Hey, I don't swim. Can I jump on your back? Can I get a free ride across the water?" And the tortoise said, "Well, I don't know, scorpion. I mean, you've got those stingers. And how do I know right in the middle of the pond that that stinger might not come and hit me right in the back of the neck and we both go down in the water and drown?" And the scorpion said, "Oh, Mr. Tortoise, don't be silly. What kind of logic would that be? If I were to sting you in the middle of the pond, why would I do that knowing not only you would die from my sting, but I would die from drowning?" Well, it was time to go, and of course the scorpion jumped on the back of the tortoise, and away they went. Well, you probably can figure it out by now. About halfway across the pond, guess what happened? The scorpion stung the tortoise, and down in the water they both went. The tortoise said, "Mr. Scorpion, can I ask you a question? I thought you said that what you just did would not make any sense. It's not logical. It wouldn't make logic for you to do that, knowing that we both would die." And the scorpion replied to the tortoise, "It's not about logic. It's my nature." And that was our nature before we knew God. We reacted in the flesh because that's who we are. And as we look at the verses, we see that we're dead, separated from God, not looking for God, not excited about spiritual things. and which you were formerly walked according to this world. And the idea of walked has a connotation of meandering. What does somebody do when they meander? Well, if we're at the mall and you see somebody kind of just walking around, not really with any plan, not going to really any stores, that's meandering. And so before we came to Christ, before we surrendered our will and we admitted that we were a sinner, that we missed the mark, that we weren't good enough to get to God, we were meandering through life. Notice what we were doing. We were meandering, walking according to the course, not of God's world, but this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, we followed Satan and the philosophy of the world. Among them, we too, all formerly lived, interestingly, in the lusts of our flesh for us, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were the scorpion of the first three verses. That was our nature. But God. Aren't you glad that God changed the course of your life? As we were going in one direction, following our nature, our sin nature, God stepped in through a friend, through a church service, through a track, through a radio program. Somebody shared with you, hey, there's a God that loves you unconditionally. He will accept you. He won't accept the way you're living, but he will accept you right now the way you are, and he will begin to work in your life and change you to become more like him. But there's a better way to live. In fact, not only on earth, but there's something to look forward to after this earth, and it's a place called heaven. Aren't you glad, church, that there's a place called heaven? And aren't you glad that you're going there? And you're going to be with God for all eternity, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. And it says here that God is rich in mercy. He's rich in his great love with which he loved us. I just wanted to share a couple of verses on God's love. The first one is Psalm 103:11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear him. Isn't that amazing? In Romans chapter 5, in verses 6 through 8, we have another example of God's love. The scripture says, beginning in verse 6, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. It says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But listen to verse 8. But God, there it is, but God demonstrated his love to us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet dead, living in our trespasses and sin, following the course of this world, following our flesh, God, even in our state, loved us so much. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Church, I'm sure some of you have already indulged. Some of you will indulge. Some of you have already had the Easter egg hunt. You've already had the Easter baskets. And those are good things. Nothing wrong with those things. Many of us will indulge in Easter dinner this afternoon or Easter lunch. Those are all good things. But that's not what Easter is about.
Easter is about God who sent his son, Jesus, who is God, who came to earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a life without sin, who went to a cross Good Friday, who was buried, and 3 days later, because of his great love for his creation, remember, God was the creator, and Jesus comes and goes to a cross and dies on the cross because of his great love for you and me. I want to share one story in closing that will maybe help you understand, but before I do, I want to read the following three verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The idea of workmanship comes from where we get the word poim. What is it saying? That when we put our faith and trust in Christ, because once we were walking this way, and because of the resurrection, and because of our repentance, we now have become God's artwork, God's literary piece. We have become something much better than what we were. We all want justice. You see, this idea of mercy and grace are connected to justice. So I want to give you an example that I think will really solidify what Easter is about. Imagine yourself driving on I-95, and let's pick out 100 miles an hour. I mean, you're in a hurry. And I've been passed by people I know were going 100 miles an hour on I-95, because I was going 99, so I know they were going 100, right? I know they were just moving. Now, the idea of justice is, I don't want justice, but I want you to have justice. So as I'm driving my 99 miles an hour, and somebody flies by me, the first thing I think of is, where is a cop when you need one? Why don't they arrest that guy? He must be going 110 miles an hour. Well, Jerry, you're going 99. Well, yeah, I know, but I'm good. I mean, he's going faster than me, so he's more guilty than I am. So what is justice? Justice is getting, and I think you can fill in the blanks, justice is getting what I deserve. I should be arrested going that fast, or at least pulled over and given a big ticket. That's what I would deserve. That's justice. But the Bible says that God is rich in mercy. And then he gives grace. Well, what's mercy? Well, here I am. I'm going 99 miles an hour. I get pulled over. The officer, if you've ever been pulled over, says something like, license and, boy, a lot of, yeah, you just, that's exactly what they say. And then they might say something like that, something like this, do you realize you were going 99 miles an hour? Yeah, most likely. You probably know that. But here's what he does. He goes, you know what, Jerry? He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a break. He says, I'm not going to give you a ticket today. I'm going to give you a warning. A while back, I don't know when it was, Jane and I were coming over the bridge from Brewer to Bangor, and I went through a yellow light. You know, I don't know about you, but when I see yellow light, I kind of step on it. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what it says in the driver's manual. But I haven't read it since I was 15. But with that being said, my ignorance did not work because the officer pulled me over. I went through the whole rigmarole. Sir, the yellow light means slow down. But what did he do? He showed me mercy. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I am just going to give you a warning, no ticket. So what did he do? Well, I did not get what I did deserve. So justice is me going and paying the fine because I deserve it. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. The officer could have nailed me, but he didn't. So go back to the example of going 99 miles an hour. Same thing, and I've never gone that fast. I'd be scared to death to go 99 miles an hour. But let's just say I was, and the officer said, Jerry, I'm going to give you a break. I don't know why, but there's just something about you. You need a break. I need a break. He lets me go. In that situation, I'm not getting what I deserved. Now, what's grace? I'm going 99 miles an hour. Pastor Feltner's right behind me. He's going 98. But I get pulled over, of course. The officer comes up and he says, you know, you're going 99 miles an hour according to the radar. I go, yeah, that's bad. Yeah, that's really bad. And, you know, this could happen. And the fine is going to be this. But he goes, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a ticket, but I'm going to pay your fine for you. Whatever the judge hands out, Jerry, I'm going to intercede for you. I'm going to get something that I do not deserve. That's grace. That's Easter. We are going through life going 99 miles an hour, living for ourselves in our trespasses and sin, walking after the course of this world, living for our flesh. And Jesus comes and he says, Jerry, I'm not only going to give you mercy, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. And I'm not going to give you what you do deserve. I'm going to pay your wage if you'll only cry out and put your faith and trust in me. I will forgive your sins. And I'm able to do that because I authenticated my own testimony of claiming to be God and all the miracles that I did because of the resurrection, Easter Sunday. That's what Easter's about. All the other things around Easter are fun, but that's not what it's about. So in closing, I'd like to give you the opportunity to get something you don't deserve,
just like I did at one time in my life as a young boy. When I received Christ as my Savior, I did not have to pay for the wages of my sin because Jesus stepped in and he said, Jerry, I'll do that for you if you only put your faith and trust in me. How do you do that? Well, it's not difficult. First of all, we admit that we're a sinner. Have you ever lied, cheated, had a bad thought, been prideful, been arrogant? We're all guilty. We admit that. We admit that we're dead spiritually to God. You see, death is in three forms. Physical death, which we all know what that is if you've ever been to a funeral. There's spiritual death where we are still alive in our bodies like we all are here, but we're spiritually dead to God. And then there's the second death, what we call eternal death, in which we are physically and spiritually separated from God forever. But before we get to the third death, the second death, we all have opportunity because we're still alive. And we're separated from God. But we admit our separation. We admit that we need God. That there's something in our life that is hollow, shallow. We're living for the world. We're living for ourselves. And Jesus says, if you put your faith and trust in me, you will live forever. And your sin will be forgiven. And you'll get something called grace that you don't deserve. And maybe you're at that place today, and I would encourage you, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray this out loud. This prayer will not get you to heaven. This prayer is a template. What will get you to heaven is a heart transformation where you say, yes, Jerry, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Yes, Jerry, I believe that I am a sinner. I believe that I've missed the mark without a question. I know I'm not good enough. And it's because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that he has the power to give me eternal life. And I would like to accept that free gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a gift. You don't have to pay anything for it. You don't have to do anything for it. Just trust. You don't have to go work at the mansion and serve food. You don't have to help in any kind of humanitarian organization. You don't have to give money. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to have anything else. You don't have to come to church every week. We need to admit, trust, and receive by faith. And all those other things come later. So as we look at this together on the screen, what I'd like us to do is say it together. And you say, well, if I say this, I'm all set. No, not at all. You have to be in the right place in your life that will make things good between you and God. Do you want to know for sure that when you die, that heaven is your home and that your sins are forgiven? As you say this, trust and believe in Jesus. Let's say it together. Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the world who died for me on the cross. Right now, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, come into my life, and save my soul. I prayed that prayer as a young boy. It stuck, not because of the prayer, it stuck because I recognized I was a sinner, that I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I had no connection to God. And when I prayed that prayer, the Holy Spirit of God came into my life because of my trust in Jesus. And my spirit was made alive because God gave me something that I did not deserve. Father, thank you this morning for your grace and love. And Lord, I pray now that as we continue to sing and worship, that you be glorified. And Lord, I would ask if there's one person here that does not fully understand what we talked about, that they would talk to us after the service and ask for further explanation. Lord, our goal is at Cross Point Church, our mission is to bring people into a growing relationship with Christ, and that begins with that relationship with you, from coming out of darkness into the light. And so, Lord, I pray now that you'd bless as we continue to sing songs unto you. And all of God's people said,